I joined a gym.
You joined a gym, that's right, over 50s.
Yeah.
Well, how's that going?
Well, at first I thought it wouldn't be. Well, the idea was that you know, you don't get big chesty guys there.
Yeah, it's muscle bound.
Yeah. It's like over 28s.
At nightclubs.
The Croxton Park.
The Croxton Park. Rocking at the Croxton.
No, look, I've got to say, one of the best things I've ever done.
Really?
It's cool. It's if you are over 50 and you live in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
How often do you go?
Every day.
Every day? Really?
Yep.
Why? How long's the workout?
About 40 minutes. And they go but easy on you.
Hey, you go Monday to Friday. You don't go weekends, do you?
Or? I would if I was. Yeah, no, I tend to go. Yeah. And it's only about 40 minutes.
And what brought on this sudden urge?
My partner went. She said, I'll go and see what it's like. I'll go ahead. You know, someone goes ahead and sort of.
A canary in a coal mine.
Yep. And and then she said, I think it's good enough to join. And it's called Dukes, run by Jonathan Duke. And I.
Dukes.
And it's full of, you know, people over 50 all learning how to work. Walking frames,
yeah.
No, but it was a bit embarrassing the other day because I got into – because you got a card and you put your card on the machine. The machine knows that you go, hello, Glenn.
Oh, wow.
So it sets the machine up for you, how much pressure you want, And you're set to go and it counts your reps for you. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there and, you know. So I'm doing this one where you push up above your head.
Yeah.
And it's going, and I'm about – 15 and I'm going, oh, a bit hard.
Yeah, it's working your heart.
We're working a bit hard. Maybe Jonathan's set it up to a bit too hard for me. And I look across the machine, it was on zero. It could not go any lower than it was going. I was just lifting the bar, you know.
Just the bar.
Well, I like to think a bit more than the bar.
Yeah.
But it was on zero. So, you know, my ego was. But having said that, I would rather do that. Then wake up in the middle of the night, or you know, the next day, where you get in pain getting in and off the toilet.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you go to a class, or you go to a stretch class, or you do too many weights, and you show off a bit.
And you're in trouble. The next day. Did you spot anyone? I'll spot you. When I went to a gym for a very short period of time, there seemed to be either really fit people, good looking fit people, and fat people. There was no one really in between. And I had a theory those fit people were employed as actors just to make all the fat people feel bad and work harder.
See, what I'm looking out for is people under 50. He looks like he's in his 40s. What's he doing there? Sorry, mate. You're not.
You could ask him a question. Well, what were the main characters in Gilligan's Island? Who was the lead singer of the Eagles?
So everyone, you know,
just. Hey, friendly, they talk or?
Yeah, they talk. Yeah? I mean, they're baby boomers. Everyone chats.
Yeah.
They're talking recipes. They're talking, you know, what's going
operations.
On.
Operations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know.
Kids.
Yeah. It's very.
What the kids are doing. Travel.
Yep.
Renovation.
Yep.
Property.
Yep.
Real estate.
Yep. All the standard things. All the big ones. Punching away on your machine.
They wouldn't just be baby boomers. There'd be some Gen X. Because I'm 53 and I'm Gen X. So there'd be a small amount of Gen X's in there.
Yeah, well, you should come along.
Oh, no.
This was scary. Okay, this part was scary. You would say that I was quite...
You're quite fit.
Slim. No, I would say fit.
But you're slim. Yes, you're not fat.
And he did my measurements.
Oh, no, not the BMI. What was
no, he said the BMI's crap.
Yeah.
But he said, and what it's meant to be, half your waist should be half your height.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
I'm 180, so therefore my waist should be 90.
And are you?
I'm 92.
Oh,
I am
perfect.
Over.
You're over, yeah.
I'm over.
My twin brother went to his doctor in Switzerland. My twin brother's skinnier than you. And he said, yeah, you'll have to lose some weight. And he's like, where from? I've got no fat on me.
I can't lose any more. Yeah, I can't lose any more weight. That's the main thing I don't want to do is lose weight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You need to bulk. You're going to bulk up.
Well, you know.
Next time you come in, next week you have your singlet. Just have a singlet on. Just sit down. You know what will happen? That you'll get on the roids. That's what happens. Gyms are. I read this in the paper. Gyms are where criminals hang out now. That's where criminals hang out. They're the new.
I used to go to a boxing gym. There was a few.
Yeah, dodgy criminals. Yeah, dodgy blokes.
No one did photographs. So I'm thinking, I don't know
where they're going to end up.
Yeah.
But so I reckon you're going to get on the roids and just, you know, walk around with you'll be like a bodybuilder. You'll start going to the bodybuilding comps.
What?
Walk around with a bag of rice crackers and chicken breast.
Well, they've got a keg of nice water there with lemon and orange in it.
Yeah.
Just put a bit in there.
Yeah, put the
so
steroids.
Everyone would give a bit of roid. Yeah. Doesn't it make your penis
small? Yeah, shrink. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Oh, have you ever been to a bodybuilding competition?
and seen the small penises.
No, just watched one. They are pretty amusing. Eye the Tiger gets a really big run in terms of.
Not again.
The Tiger again. They got that on permanent standby at the bodybuilding competition.
Yeah. Anyway, I can validate joining a gym and.
It's not a free plug. No,
not a free plug.
But it could turn into one.
Yeah, well, if Jonathan's listening, then you know, by all
means. Yeah, next year, we'll just turn that membership over and no charge.
Yeah.
There's some music.
There's some music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
And you are on Somehow Related. What a great podcast. Rising up the charts. We get two topics.
I'm getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah. From at people, the gym? Yeah, people at the gym?
Yep.
It's good.
You know, as I'm pumping away on my zero setting.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of good feedback. So hello to all those people that said hello to me and enjoyed the podcast.
Good on them.
Two topics.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think are related.
But they are.
Is this one been sent in?
Yes, sent in by a Facebook group.
Yeah, via Facebook apparently, Sam says.
I haven't got Facebook. So
no, I'm on Facebook.
We've got
a Facebook group. If you're listening, you can join.
That means
you
could look it up and then look up the answer.
I'm active. Well, I haven't though. But I'm active in the Facebook.
If you seem a bit confident with the answer, I'm going to call you on.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know you're very competitive. I know you want to win.
Not really.
But so apparently this one's been set on Facebook.
Well, good on them.
And Sam will tell us by who, obviously.
Yeah. So what is it, Sam?
Snow cones and the moon landing. The topics in this episode was suggested by Mitch through Facebook.
Thanks, Mitch.
Good on you, Mitch.
Snow cones and the moon landing.
Well, I reckon you're about to say, I don't want to be cynical, but I reckon you're about to say I read a book about moon landing.
No, haven't read a book about moon landing.
Well, you've probably read about snow cones.
No, I know about snow cones.
Is that like the things they get at 7-Eleven? Is that what that is?
That's Slurpee. Snow cones are in the tradition of that, though. Yeah, you know where I see snow cones? At my kid's fete. Because you don't see them a lot, but you see them at fates. So all it is crushed ice and cordial, which is Slurpees, slushies. They're all the same. They're all crushed ice with cordial or lemonade.
And in our day, they came in a triangular packet called Jubblies or Sunny Boys.
Yeah. But they were frozen, whereas these are frozen, but they're kind of smashed up frozen. So, yeah, it just takes a Sunny Boy and smashes it.
How do you eat a snow cone?
They come in a paper cone normally.
So you just suck on the end of it.
Yeah, and there's like a little dog
I see kids trying to get the last bit of ice out of the bottle.
So they're not unlike a Glug or a Sunny Boy. And again, what was the lime flavour? You'll never know. Zap was the lime flavour in the Sunny Boy world.
The Mastermind's coming back on.
Yeah, I know. Sunny Boy flavours.
Well, you could do rubbish food. It'd be
crap food. Yeah. So anyway, I sit at the fete and the kids love it. So it's just crushed ice with cordial, basically.
And surely when you get down the bottom bit of ice where there's no cordial in it, you just go, oh, yeah. But on a hot day, I imagine that would be fantastic.
I mean, Slurpees just took it the next step by making them fizzy, didn't they? That's what they did.
Oh, I've never had a Slurpee.
Oh, Slurpees are great. So Slurpee, we used to get them. I remember when 7-Eleven, they own Slurpees, right? They're the Slurpees. And so I remember when the first 7-Eleven opened in Melbourne, it was in, would have been 84 maybe, in Doncaster, and we all went and got a Slurpee. I know Matthew Hardy talks about when Food Plus opened. Food Plus was for about 10 years, this was 7-Eleven's competitor. So in the 80s, you had, would have been very early 80s, you had 7-Eleven and you had Food Plus. And Matthew Hardy in his book, Saturday Afternoon Fever, great book about growing up in Glen Waverley and loving 40, he goes to the opening of the Food Plus, where there's hundreds of people and Caramella Koala turns up. And see, they had slushies, which was very similar to Slurpees.
Oh, wow. So they've ripped off the...
Someone's ripped something off.
Slush.
But Slurpees became this phenomenon that appeared in movies and, you know, like Bill and Ted. And Slurpees became this thing. And, you know, people talk about getting a Slurpee headache.
Oh, yeah.
I remember writing sketches about it. Yeah, where you'd suck on the Slurpee too quickly. Yeah, like an ice cream headache.
Is it true that they have like a spoon made out of a straw?
Yes. So does it work as a straw
as well?
Yeah, it's great. The end of the straw is a spoon.
Oh, right.
And when we were growing up, there was really only two flavours you could get, Coke and raspberry, and then you'd mix them up. But now they've got this really ridiculous thing where they've got like they're having a new flavor every day or some crap.
And they came out of a machine that you did yourself, or did the man behind the counter do it?
No, you do it yourself.
And does that mean you can?
Yeah,
you can. Obviously, you can give it a.
We were in Geelong the other day, and my partner wanted to go to this thing called the Mill. Right now, that is, they've got them in Ballarat. They've got them around Melbourne, and they're like an antiques fair.
Yep.
Where they've just got this giant. They're good if you like old stuff. So they've got a giant warehouses full of old stuff. You know, like really old retro to buy. Yeah. People rent out stalls.
Don't tell me.
So she went there and she will spend hours there. Like we were driving through Geelong. She goes, I'm never going to get to go to the Geelong Mill. Like it was, you know, the world was going to end. And I said, all right, well, let's just go there. We'll go there.
Drive down Geelong Road.
Yeah. So
if you're in New South Wales.
We were in Geelong.
If you're in another part of Australia or the world, Geelong Road is a long straight road, which is a good time to contemplate
life.
Anyway,
we went to the Mill and it was so boring for the kids and myself because we do one circuit and she's only done two stalls. So I'm like, well, let's go to 7-Eleven. And it was a really hot day and I said, okay, we're going to get a Slurpee. And the kids get really excited. But they didn't know how to work the machine properly because they haven't done it a lot. Okay. But a young dude, because it's been so long for me, young dude in tracks, you goes, here, step back and fills it right to the top. Puts the lid on, then fills it up even more. See, there's a whole trick.
It down?
Yeah, no, the lid's got bulb, like a bubble kind of lid. Oh, there's a whole trick to it.
And where does the cordial come? How does that come into it?
That's already in there.
Oh, you don't go doink.
No, whereas the snow cone, the person doing it puts the cordial on. Yeah, but the thing about Slurpees, and they have this thing which my teenager goes on about all the time called "Bring Your Own Container Day." I used to stand up about how I came home and he's washing the old baby bath out and he's like, Dad, I'm gonna take this up to the 7-Eleven for Bring Your Own Container Day.
Your kids are good. I like your kids.
But you can't walk into the 7-Eleven with a baby bath and fill it with Slurpee. That's no good. You see kids turning up with buckets and stuff where you can bring your own container. Yeah.
Get into it. Yeah, he's spreading the good word.
But you've never had a Slurpee.
No.
You've had a slushy?
No.
Have you had a snow cone?
No.
But you've had, when you go to Italy and places like that?
Yeah, well, no, I haven't been as much as you.
But you've been to places and you've been to Italian restaurants and they have granita, which is crushed ice with a liquid and sometimes it's alcohol.
Yeah.
That's like a Slurpee. That's like a snow cone too.
It just feels like a bucket of sugar to me.
Yeah, well, that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're absolutely sugar.
You know that I live like a...
A monk.
Yeah. And I meditate and I don't eat sugar and I don't do inappropriate things on public transport.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but I don't do it.
But Slurpees, snow cones are just that frozen ice with a bit of cordial that kids love on a hot day. It's like a kid's equivalent of a beer, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
You know what it's good about it is you go, it's something to do when you go and hang out.
It's true.
It's a bonding thing.
That's true. You see teenagers doing it all the time.
Hey, you want to catch up for a Slurpee later?
You see, because I live near a 7-Eleven, you go in there and there's often teenagers after school hanging out with a Slurpee. When I spoke to you yesterday, I was walking around Collingwood.
And you had one?
No, I didn't have one, but I saw kids
you attempted.
Hanging outside. There's a school that backs on and there's a milk bar there. And it was kind of cute. They were all kids of all different nations and cultures, Glenn, in
Collingwood. Here's a question.
Hanging out at the milk bar, drinking Slurpees and stuff.
Is there a cutoff age where you think that's not appropriate for you to be drinking a Slurpee?
Yeah.
Would be what?
Yeah.
20?
No, 20 is fine. So when you're in your 20s in shared houses, Slurpees are a big thing. Okay. That's a big thing.
So if you're as a father, all the kids get a Slurpee, you wouldn't get one as well.
Yeah, but you still see dads getting them.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't get one because I like Diet Coke. I want Diet Slurpee. I don't want full sugar Slurpee.
You're smart. Yeah.
But I reckon, and you see tradies getting them on hot days. You see blokes getting them. But I would say 40s around a good cutoff point for the Slurpee.
Mm.
I would say snow cones even earlier. I reckon 20 for a snow cone.
Mm.
I reckon, what about milkshakes? I love milkshakes. There's no cutoff on a milkshake.
No, would you be seen walking down the street by yourself?
Yeah.
With a milkshake.
I walk down the street with two huge packets of toilet paper. I don't care. Huh? I got no shame anymore. It's been kicked out of me. So I'm quite happy to walk down with a milkshake. That's a very good question. What are you embarrassed to walk down the street with? That's a really good question. When you have to put it in your pockets, Like,
what do you get?
Because you know when you go to the chemist and I get like a prescription for blood pressure tablets, they was, oh, get a bag. I don't need a bag. I said, I'm not embarrassed by taking pills for blood pressure. And then I've got to buy like tampons and pads and stuff. I said, I don't want a bag. Don't worry about it.
I went to it. Okay, this is true. I went to, I had to go, you know those parties where you have to dress up as a character?
Yeah.
I had to be a porn star.
Right. So had to be a porn star. You just had to, did you?
See. And
you chose to be one.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. They so someone said be a porn star.
You've got to be a porn star. Okay. So I thought, well, I better go to the
costume shop.
Costume shop and get something that's appropriate to.
What do they wear?
Well, anyway.
Not much.
So I walk in the shop and say loudly at the counter, hi, subtext, I'm not here to look at inappropriate things. I'm going to a fancy dress as a character and I need to be a porn star. Anyway, so he took me over and we got, you know, a dildo for down my pants and we got
a jacket, leather pants.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of stuff. Anyway, I'm there with my arm full of stuff. The people that were in there when I first announced it had left.
And then new people.
As I'm coming up with my armful up to the counter, a new group of people come in and I get recognized. Robin's buying it. He must have a weird sex life. But anyway,
what's he doing?
Yeah. Made me talk about that.
Embarrassing stuff when you're buying a shop. So, you know.
Oh, yes. What would you walk down the
milkshakes, medication, toilet paper.
So he offered to put it in a bag and I did put it in a bag.
Yeah, well, that kind of thing you might want to put in a bag.
Yeah.
Time for a quick break.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the moon landing next.
Well, Sam's asked us to have a break, so that means we can go and have a Slurpee or something.
Yeah, yum.
If you're looking for another podcast, why not tune in to me, Carl Quinn, and my co-host, Andrew Young, on The Clappers, where we talk film, TV, theatre, music, art, books, all kinds of things. And let's not forget, cycling. That's us on The Clappers. Search for The Clappers where you're listening now.
All right. Moon landings.
Moon landings.
Did it happen, Glenn?
Of course not. It's a conspiracy.
I think it did happen.
No, it never happened.
Really?
Of course it happened. You would have been old enough to see it.
Yeah, I was four, but they showed it at school or kinder. They wheeled a TV in.
Yeah, in black and white. And we went to the library.
Oh, we went to the library?
Yeah, and sat down. I think we got the rest of the day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was like, the land on the moon, so you can go home now.
This is a very bizarre thing to aim for, isn't it, landing on the moon? Like,
It's not
technically a planet, is it? It's a moon. So it's not like going to Mars or.
It's the ego of mankind.
It's the ego.
Mankind going.
Russia versus America, wasn't it?
It's just going, we can do it before you can. Watch us. Didn't the Russians, though, didn't
they? They got into space first.
But then they sent a dog?
Yeah, they sent a dog, yeah.
And did they throw a really big stick at the dog?
The dog was in another rocket. The stick was in another rocket.
Or they went, have a look at this lovely leg of lamb, putting that in there in the other rocket.
You know, I looked this up because one of my kids asked me, did the dog come back, Dad?
No, the
dog and the monkeys don't come back.
They die? Well, they stay out there?
They stay up there.
Oh, no. Do they? Because when I saw the dog going, I thought the dog came back.
The dog doesn't come back. Sam, does the dog? What was the name of the dog, too? I can't remember its name, that Russian dog. Because I read about it. It was like a street dog, and then they adopted it and blah, blah. Sam, what was the name of the dog?
Laika.
Because imagine if all the dogs got together and they go, what have you been doing lately? Oh, I've been riding the front seat of the car. Oh, what have you been doing?
Sniffing other dogs' bums.
Yeah, what have you been doing? I caught a rabbit the other day. Yeah, something. I went out of space. You what?
What?
You did not.
Laika. I don't think Laika came back. I think they just left it up there.
And the monkeys didn't come back?
The monkeys. What was the monkey called? Ham. Wasn't that one of the names of the monkeys? Go on. Sam's got something to say.
Laika died on the 3rd of November 1957, aged 3, travelling in Sputnik 2 in low Earth orbit.
Oh, that's really sad.
Died on the Sputnik.
You don't want that on your hand. You don't want, you know.
Terrible.
Am I still dying in the name of human health? Are they still experimenting, you know, things on mice? Are they still?
Of course they are. Somewhere in the world, of course they are.
Because you think they inject mice with all sorts of stuff, and the poor mice is just sitting there going, "What is going?
This isn't for my health and my fellow mice's health."
They do it with heroin and cocaine, and you know, It's just disgusting what they're doing. I don't know what the laws are, but they should be changed. Anyway, I've said my piece.
Yeah.
You
were at that vegan protest. I'm pretty sure it was you the other day.
That was me.
Breaking into the goat farm. Now,
how long does it take for light to come from the moon?
Oh, don't ask me.
Because I heard this the other day. And it blew my. I think it's 100 like
hours.
Is it 1.3 seconds or something?
Oh, really?
How
long? Okay, if you get in the car and you drive and you could drive into space, how long would it take you to get into space?
As in beyond gravity, sort of. How long would it take to get into space? You not go far. Straight there.
Straight there.
You're not stopping. Not pulling over for it.
They go via Goulburn.
Surely you'd pull over for it because it'd be a big point. You got good view here. Turn back around. Everyone, turn Kids around. Look out the back window.
I think it's really quick.
I'm car sick.
It's like under 24 hours. You would be in outer space if you drove there.
Yeah. Right.
Sam, how long? God, Sam's getting a run for a money today. How long would it take to drive into outer space? It's not long.
So this is an actual. Is it? Is
someone's
it,
calculated? Some scientist with nothing to do.
62 miles. Here's a summary from the website lifescience.com. The shortest distance between Earth and space is about 62 miles straight up.
Wow, so you could do it in an hour and a bit up in space. Imagine that.
In the Audi.
Quicker than Melbourne to Geelong. Mm. In the Audi.
Yeah, I'd be fine. You're in the Golf. You'd be up there.
Well, I'd get a lift with you, I think. I don't want to get a speeding fine.
And I also learned light from the sun. Now, the people are going to write in and say this is wrong, but 8 minutes.
Wow.
And
it's amazing, the sun and the moon. I find all that amazing when you look up and see the sun. Do you find that amazing?
I do. The moon, when incredible. And what I find interesting is if you go to the highest point on Earth, you die.
Well, where's that?
Top of Mount Everest.
Well, okay, you die.
You die because you just can't live. You go to the depths of the ocean.
You die.
You die.
You die.
You look up into the sky. At the thing that's brightest, and you go blind.
Yeah.
We're living on the edge. We're living on the
moon. We are living on the edge.
Was that interesting? Probably not.
You know the greatest thing? I saw this great documentary series on the astronauts, and he was a classic old astronaut, run along the beach in Miami. He had footage of him running along the beach, still fit at 80 or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Running along the beach, and he goes, the thing about going to the space, he goes, the moon and that's not that amazing. He goes, you look back at Earth and that's amazing.
Yeah.
He goes, it's like an oasis. And then he said, and we're ruining it. Because he goes, you look around, there's nothing else like it. He goes, but Earth is amazing.
A lot of them come back with a
spiritual
sort of change. That you realize that you're not that important.
Did you see the movie about Armstrong? I didn't see that with... That guy that's in everything. Did you see the First Man movie? Did you see that?
Oh,
it was on last year. It was a movie. It was out last year.
No, I didn't see it. I tend to go for the docos.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the great footage on YouTube where someone said it was a conspiracy? They said it to Neil Armstrong and he punches him in the head.
No, that's Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin's a bit punchy. That's right. Yeah. Oh, one of my friends was in New Zealand and Buzz Aldrin toured and said his wife was like his bodyguard, would come through the crowd with an umbrella, just whacking people out of the way for Buzz to get through. Like just totally taking people out.
The conspiracy people?
Yeah. Oh, just all because when you're an astronaut, people all want your photo, your autograph. And yeah, he's got no time for this. And he's an old guy. So she would just come through with an umbrella, whacking people to clear the path, apparently.
To come to this. You've gone to the moon and now you're back on Earth and your wife is banging people with an umbrella.
With an umbrella.
Anyway, back to the closest star.
Yeah.
Is how many? What? How far away?
Oh, I don't know.
Go. Just have a
20,000 miles. 20,000 kilometers.
Over four light years away.
Wow, it's a long way.
Light years. Light years. So
light
if it,
years.
So imagine if the Audi could go at light speed. I'd say, Dave, you want to go? I got a special protector on the car. We can go look at the sun.
Take a while.
4 years we'd be in the car.
Oh, that's a long time. It's a big road trip. But Mars isn't that far. Mars is, they reckon they're going to get, mission to Mars eventually.
What's the point?
We'll have a look.
Yeah, but what's the point? You're going to live there one day. Bullshit.
They seem to do that in movies a lot. They're living on the moon. They're living on Mars.
They're not going to live on the moon.
You know, there's stuff you can get off the moon. There's a very valuable gas that they can mine. Because one of the presidential candidates was talking about going to the moon and mining the US. And I'm like, what? And then someone corrected me on the radio and said, no, it's an actual... I spoke to a scientist on the radio. It's an actual thing. There's a gas up there that's very valuable.
Moon gas.
Yeah, moon gas, I think, is a technical term.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm just dropping these because I'm
dropping
full
these,
of this.
You're a moon.
That, you know, because all the stars are all suns, you know, the stars are suns.
They're all suns, yeah.
And
I
think
yeah.
it's like one in five has a planet that is in the, and get this word, inhabitable zone.
Oh, really?
Because there's a zone which is a certain distance.
Yeah, of course, it gets light off the sun. Yeah.
Yeah, that you, too close, burn up. Too far away, too cold. It's like Goldilocks. Just
oh, wow.
Right.
So there could be another Earth out there.
Oh, the chances. Well, one in five is in the inhabitable zone. So look at all those stars out there. They've got little planets going around.
Wouldn't you love to go there to one of those planets? Would you love to go to outer space? Would you love it?
Oh, look, I would.
Would you?
Well, for the very reason that you talked about before, looking back and going.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
They reckon the Concorde.
Used to go above the.
Yeah.
And you could see the.
The arc, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
Yeah, it's.
Well, you know, people are buying tickets on the first, you know, apart from the guy's rockets blowing up and stuff.
Yeah, and that costs like $250,000. Yeah. Get a lot of points, though, for you.
Yeah, a lot
of
points for frequent flyers.
Yeah. You know, and they probably have really good in flight.
You reckon they get good in service.
Yeah.
While the moon landing. Did you ever see that movie, The Dish? You ever see that movie?
Made by some good friends of mine.
Made by, yeah. It's very good.
Very good.
Well, they used a lot of that. They got all that footage for free, basically, didn't they? Because it was all public. It's all public.
That's
what someone told me. That a lot of that footage, you don't have to pay much for it because it's all in the public domain now, I think.
You know what else is in the public domain? Maybe we could play this later on.
Yeah.
Is that because when the astronauts, because they can talk, just it's not like they're on a mobile. They can chat, so they can talk about anything. It's really interesting to hear them just having a normal chat instead of going, the eagle has landed or, you know, whatever famous thing or one small step for me, one giant leap for anybody else.
It is, I'd like to hear that because they were all military guys, the astronauts.
They
were all fighter pilots.
Did you see The Right Stuff?
Oh, I love The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Great
those
movie.
Guys were pioneers. They were, you know, putting their life on the line for us to.
Oh, they loved it though.
You reckon?
Oh, I reckon they loved it.
What were they breaking?
Sound barrier and stuff.
Yeah.
But my kids always say you've got to be an astronaut, you've got to be a fighter pilot. But I said, no, there's an Australian guy who went who was like an engineer or a scientist. So you don't have to be. Originally, they were all fighter pilots because they'd actually fly the rocket. They had to fly the thing for a certain amount. You know what I mean? Nowadays, they send scientists up and stuff.
Who
and
was the guy that stayed up and it didn't get to land?
Collins, wasn't it? It was Collins.
Well, what was he doing up there?
Well, remember someone did a great routine about, so the three of them are in the rocket and they're like, okay, who's going to get to go and walk on the moon? Oh, no, we'll do it alphabetically. All right. Armstrong, Aldrin. Oh. Because you think with Collins, you'd have a shot, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You go like, yeah, straight away, you go, yep.
And yeah,
go,
because you're Robbins, I'm O'Neill. We'd be, you know.
We'd be upstairs just playing checkers.
Oh, they had to leave someone in the rocket. Because they had to come back up. When you think about the engineering of it, it's probably amazing.
In the Thunderbirds.
Because you know your good friend Rob Sitch said to me,
yeah.
When, or maybe he said this in an interview and I imagined he was talking to me.
Yeah, you possible. You always imagine.
Possible.
Like
he said, if you look at a car built in 1969 and look at the technology and then imagine that technology going to the moon. And it's amazing. When you look at a car from the 60s and think that the people went to the moon.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That same technology.
You're getting into an old bit of tin with a rocket on it.
Yeah. It's amazing when you think about what they did.
Yeah, and the way they were able to sort of.
Well, it's all maths too and physics calculating what time they had to fly and because they landed on the moon but then had to get back off the moon, back to the rocket, then come back home.
And I believe with the first moon landing they had like 30 seconds of fuel or something.
Yeah, it was
they
like just, incredible.
It was cutthroat. It would be like playing a video game where your energy level thing's going down. Stop, Mum, I'm nearly, Mum, you made me, die. Okay.
All right. Well, we should have a bit of radio talk from the moon men.
Yeah.
And we'll come back with our answers.
Okay. And I sure think it's paying off. You guys did an outstanding job.
I got the parts again. I got them again, Charlie. I mean, I haven't eaten this much citrus fruit in 20 years. And I'll tell you one thing. In another 12 fucking days, I ain't never eaten any more. I put them up over the, right up in here. They ain't there.
Orion, Houston.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tanya, where you have my hot mic?
How long we had that?
That's amazing conversation.
Yeah, it just sounds cool, doesn't it?
That's great. Similar to, they should, I reckon, like, people look back at our mobile conversations we have, just that text messaging back and forth, it's similar.
But I reckon if I put you on you, Dave O'Neill, put you on an astronaut microphone,
yeah,
you just sound automatically,
you sound
cool,
aren't you?
You just sound cool. It's like if you've ever been lucky enough to be in a helicopter and you put the little thing on, you go, everyone says, oh, cool. Oh, look at the view, it looks fantastic.
I've worn that McDonald's drive-thru thing. Is that similar? Cheeseburger. I tell you, I did McHappy Day once at Deer Park McDonald's. And this was when I was on Nova with Husey and Kate. And Husey got St Kilda, Kate got the city, and I got Deer Park, which is an outer western suburb.
Yeah. Watch your back there.
Oh, I swear, several people came through the drive-thru, and I was doing the drinks on the drive-thru, which is quite hard work.
Yeah.
Slippery. Several people said, are you working here now, mate?
Oh, I know.
Are you working here now?
Because I was when I did it, I ate the chips.
Oh, man, I was eating stuff. But then the guy was, like, making me work like a proper work. I'm like, mate, I'm not here to actually work.
Yeah, man, just say hello and move on.
Say hello and give out a few hamburgers for the kids.
I don't work here.
I don't work here.
I don't work here, okay? Those kids work hard.
Oh, yeah, it's a tough job.
So.
Okay, snow cones and the moon landing.
Okay. I'm going to – do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
I'm going to say, because did they not go into quarantine – after they landed?
Yeah, they would have landed. They landed in the ocean, yeah.
Landed in the ocean. Then they would have gone into quarantine just because they didn't know what you could catch up there on the moon. Wouldn't they? Have not?
Oh,
I think
so.
They did go into quarantine.
Yeah, of course.
Sam, did the Apollo...
Astronauts.
Apollo... What Apollo was it? Five?
Yeah, I don't know.
Seven? Nine?
Oh. 33.
Apollo 11.
Apollo 11!
Thanks, Sam. Apollo 11. I went for four numbers before. Jeez, I just got my entrance for Mastermind here. I'm just crossing it out.
Don't do moon landing.
Did they go into quarantine?
Astronauts for quarantine for 21 days before liftoff.
Oh, 21 days.
21 days. Mm. So when you're in there, 21 days, you probably got a bit of a hankering for some burger like we do after the show.
Yeah. Or maybe fried chicken, pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Some of that comfort food. Because they would have had to be incredibly fit before they went too. That would have been part of the program.
I reckon.
It would have been at that gym that you've been at.
Yep. I reckon that they, one of them, maybe who was first, Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
I reckon he's going to go, I know I shouldn't, but I'd like a snow cone.
Snow cone all round.
Yeah. Snow cones all round for the boys. And that would have been brought to them by the president, who was Nixon?
69, yeah, probably, yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say, well, mate, how did he speak?
I am not a crook. Yeah. I am not a crook. That's what he said.
Anyway, so that's what I
reckon. Well, I'm going to go one step further and say I reckon that's one of the things they had in the spacecraft. They had snow cones. Because I researched this once.
How would they keep it? Were they a little travel?
You got a freezer? They got a little freezer?
They'd take an Esky, surely.
You know what? It's cold up there. It's cold up there.
Oh, that's
it's cold.
Just put it out the window.
Yeah, put it out the window. Like like your dad would put his beer out overnight, so it's cold.
So you're saying that they took all the equipment, all the stuff, all the right food, like, you know, a cheese roll and a tube, all that stuff that they were
having. Yeah, because they'd have traditional American food. I remember I read this somewhere the other day. The Chinese astronauts have dog. They get dog on the menu when they go into space. Because dog's a popular dish.
There's already some dog up there.
There's already a dog up there. Pull up next to the Sputnik. okay, well, I think they had it up there. I think it was one of the things they chose to have.
Yeah, well, they came back from walking on the moon.
Because remember, you'd always get like astronaut food? There used to be lolly.
It's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, or a tablet.
Because maybe they came back from walking on the moon and gone, oh, I could do a snow cone now.
Yeah.
And they've all had snow cones. Well, I have to walk around on the moon. Because it'd be hot in those suits.
Yeah, it'd be hot in those suits.
They'd love a big cool down with a snow cone. Okay.
All right. Okay, Sam, what is the answer?
The original call signs for Apollo 11 moon landing module and the re-entry pod were a haystack for the landing module and snow cone for the pod. They were initially names that because of their shape and appearance, but once NASA and the crew realized the landing was going to be televised live, they revised the names to something catchier. The landing module was renamed the Eagle and spawned the now common phrase that Eagle has landed when they touched down on the moon. The command module, which was initially called Snow Cone, was renamed Columbia for the mission and touched down safely in the Pacific Ocean in 1969. There are links in the show notes if you want to find out more.
Haystack has landed. And then when the snow cone came through into the and dropped into the ocean, that's the snow cone.
Right.
which they called Columbia.
Columbia and the Eagle. Eagle was the one that went to the moon.
Yeah.
Because it would not a good sound. Not a good thing to say.
The module that did land in the ocean did look like a snow cone, I have to say. It looks a little bit like a snow cone.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
And the haystack does look a bit like a haystack too.
Because the module was inside the Columbus, wasn't it? Yeah. Or on the back of it?
Yes, somewhere, I don't know. Don't ask me.
In the boot.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, that's incredible. So the Eagle has landed, that's where it came from.
Yeah, wow. That does sound cool. Houston, yeah, what's happening? You know, the Eagle. Oh, I don't. Houston, yes. Snow cone, no, what would it be? Haystack. Haystack has, I don't know how to say it, has landed. What are you going to say when you get out of haystack? I don't know.
Yeah.
One small jump off a haystack, one giant leap off a haystack.
We're traveling back to Earth in the snow cone, and it just doesn't sound as good.
Sounds like a cartoon show, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's no good. They made the right decision there.
They probably had a whiteboard meeting and gone, what are we
doing? Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Columbus, who was an explorer, correct?
Yes.
And Eagle, which as Sam said, on the logo, which is on the... Is there something on – where's there an eagle on the American shield?
Yeah, there is an eagle on there somewhere, I think, the bald eagle.
That would have been a good meeting. They would have gone after he's gone, you know.
We've nailed
eagle
it.
Has landed. They've gone, nailed that.
Yeah.
Good meeting, everybody. Okay.
Tell you what, hunger's landed in my stomach after all that talk of snow cones and slurpees.
I don't reckon I'll ever have a snow cone.
No, I don't reckon
a slurpee, sorry.
You'll never have a slurpee.
I don't reckon I will.
Oh, I just try one. They have this thing where they have all different flavours. So they have all wacky flavours like mango and even more wackier than mango. Strawberries and cream I saw the other day.
Is it true that Kate Langbrook has never had chips?
She doesn't like chips. She doesn't like chips. Yeah, I know. It's incredible.
And Husey says that chips are one of the greatest things ever.
They are. They are. A hot chip. I had some at the footy.
Is there any?
On Sunday and they are on Monday and they are great.
Is there anything you've never had? I've never had a Slurpee.
You've never had a Slurpee?
Yep, no, and I probably won't. Is there anything you've never had?
What have I never had? A threesome?
Because I was going to go.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Nailed it. Snow cone. They should rename threesome. That is a really obvious threesome, three people.
Menage a trois.
Oh, that's better. That's a better way of saying it, isn't it?
That's a surely, thing to
no,
say.
No, but if you're with a lady and you want to suggest a threesome, that's just going to sound grubby, isn't it? What do you reckon about having a threesome with Sandra?
It is what it is.
I think if you say, what about a menage a trois? Well, for a start, some people wouldn't know what that means. Oh, okay. Well, what is that, a drink? Or
menage a trois. And then what do we do after that? Well, we'll go and get Slurpees.
Slurpees!
And, yum. Because I was just trying to draw the analogy between three people up in space having – no, you can't. That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Three guys up in a spaceship.
.com.
Please, turn us off. Oh, God.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.